Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. As you just heard from the intro, Building Families and Communities. It's what BFC Institute stands for, and that is a research arm of Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated, 501c3 nonprofit organization, established in 1998 in Nashville, Tennessee. This is yours truly, Reverend Dockery, who is the host of Talk Straight, which is a national dialogue, and we endeavor to reach targeted cities that share some of the same issues across urban America, as we do here in Nashville. And we are grateful that you're joining us here, so feel free to give us a call here. Those that are tuning in and following us on Facebook Live, feel free to give us a call here live in the studio. Engage you at 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. Or you can just simply post your question or your comment online here via the Facebook app. We'll be happy to engage you as you wish to share that and move forward. All right. I hope to have Pastor Ricky Wallow on with us tonight as we engage in this conversation for tonight. In any culture or society, the family unit is the first and most important environment that facilitates human development. Depending on its structure, the quality of care, and the stewardship of those responsible family, children turn out to be good contributors to society. Sadly, sometimes, not so much. Right? They may become a threat to themselves or society. This present day, the original purpose and makeup of the urban American family unit has been altered at the peril of too many good young people. Unfortunately, they do not benefit from all of the characteristics and the tools that one will have in a healthy, well-adjusted family environment. Tonight, we're talking from the topic, how to revitalize urban American families. So, question maybe arose, why are we talking about that, Dr. Adia? Simply because there are too many families who have been deteriorated, and young people come from it. We look at the statistics in foster care and children who are remanded to the state for different reasons. Many times they're child abuse and neglect simply because there are issues within their core family environment. And as I've worked with the Department of Children's Services here lately, or locally I should say, one of the greatest challenges to get more people from the communities that children are taken away from. And they're doing everything they can to try to get them back home and reconnect with family. But the truth of the matter is that there's a need to refocus on defining and revitalizing the basic family structure, construct, and help individuals who are well-meaning to understand that. That being said, that's the topic of our show tonight, how to revitalize urban American families. And we hope that you'll join us here. I see we have some calling queue already. Bear with us there. We're going to do our monologue. For those of you that may be just tuning in, most of the times, we offer, unless we're doing open mic where it's, the floor is open to you, I do a monologue in which we provide context and background for our discussion and helps provide us a frame of reference for things that we're saying and the direction that we're taking our conversation. Let me just say again that I don't expect everyone to agree with everything I say. We may not find agreement, but I do expect us all to be respectful of one another and to give due deference to one another's opinions. Oftentimes I learn from it, even if at the moment I don't see it, I reflect on it a little later. Hey, okay, I see where they're coming from. There may be some benefit there. But again, that being said, we appreciate all of our listening audience and those who continue to join us. We want you to do likewise. All right, without further ado, let's get right to it. And again, we're talking about how to revitalize the urban American family. Family. 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, verses 5 to 8, reads, "Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. Pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless." Verse 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." I want to start by defining very simply revitalize. What does it mean? We're talking about revitalizing urban American families. Well, what does it mean to revitalize? Here it is, very simple. To give new life or vigor to. To give new life or vigor to. And I would submit to you that one of the problems that we have in urban America is that somehow socioeconomic stressors, problems, issues have sucked the life out of too many families. Now, so where did this concept of a family come from? Did it pop out of the sky? Is it something legally legislated? Is it something that we can buy our way into? No. The family is a theological concept or idea. It is universally recognized as the foundational institution of humanity or society. And this is all around the world. You may say you have a different word for it in a different language, but that's the universal exception. Having its purpose in the creation scheme of Elohim, God, being male and female, yielding offspring. Okay? Basic concept, construct of family, biblically. It was originally intended as the platform of man's fulfillment of humanity in the earth. When the Creator made man, he had the intention that man would extend himself from one generation to the next. Family was the platform, or the foundational basis of such. Now, let's look at legally today in 2018, how is family defined. And let's understand that this legal definition comes from the evolution of thought about who is in your family, what your family is made of, and legally who can have certain rights as family members. A group of individuals who share ties of blood, marriage, or adoption. Now, that's different. Or adoption. A group residing together and consisting of parents, children, or other relatives by blood or marriage. So now it could be more folks. And oftentimes, that was known as the extended family. First you had mom, dad, children. Now circumstances historically has caused the meaning to evolve to include other family members, cousin, grandmama, your uncle, you understand, your sister, who are displaced for whatever reason. Further goes on, a group of individuals residing together who have consented, watch this, consented to an arrangement similar to ties of blood and marriage. Now, what does that mean? Y'all done made some up, see? Y'all decided we agree that we are this. Not that we're naturally this or if this was something come by natural order, but we just decided this is what it's going to be. We're going to define ourselves as a family. It was interesting to me to see how now there's a trend to referring to animals as members of your family, your children. Wow. Okay. It is what it is. Let's talk about the nature of, particularly in urban American families, the breakdown that we saw. I mentioned to you some time ago Andrew Billingsley and Carol McAdoo, who were psychologists, sociologists, who wrote a book back in the 70s, and they've since extended on them and had other things. And we actually had Dr. E. Kelly Stanford, professor at Tennessee State University, on air with us once, who was a student of Billingsley. He talked about the social construct now of family, and he talked about some of the factors to the degradation, the breakdown, and the synthesis of what used to be a strong and accepted meaning of a family. Well, one of the precipitating factors is that there's a lack of proper parenting, a planning on part of people who are old enough to procreate life. So the intention is not always that we want to actually work together to rear children and to work toward an end of developing them to be productive members of society, but we were having fun, you understand. In fact, there's a song that was out. Say the reason that we're here. Let's quit lying to ourselves. We're because we're about to get it on. We're about to do some things. You understand what I mean? I ain't no need to tell no lie about it. The reason, you know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So another factor is the absence of a commitment. People get together and they believe they care about one another, right? They believe they love one another. But when stresses come, because there's no commitment that we're going to stay, no real commitment. Sometimes people tell that lie at the altar. There's no real commitment that we're going to stay with one another through thick and thin. No matter what comes or what goes, we're going to stay together. In fact, we're going to let our trials and tribulations be the cement that binds us together forever. Today, it's okay to divorce. You ain't got to stay married. I mean, for what? Ain't nothing but, again, we had our fun. We hit and run just for fun. You understand what I'm saying? That's another factor. External and societal influences. Oftentimes, you've heard it many times. It's a question over who in charge based on who make the most money. And don't let a brother fall on his luck. It ain't got nothing. Man, I'm telling you. All of a sudden, if he got to go and apply for some public assistance or get some help, you less than a man. It puts pressure on his place and his role in the family structure as a husband, as a father. Are y'all walking with me? Maybe I'm talking all by myself. That's all right, but I'm going to keep on talking. Lastly, untimely death. Sometimes people, the husband or wife dies, the children die, and cause a major shift in the family structure and its emotional stability, things of that nature. So these are some of the factors. Tonight, as we go through our discussion, the question we want to answer is how do we revitalize that we bring new life or vigor back to every American family? But before I do that, there's one person I want you to hear from, a brother by the name of Sly, and this group we call In the Family Stone. Then what he say? This is what he say. Go ahead. Go ahead. Take it away, Sly. Take it away. From the topic, how to revitalize the urban American family. That's what we're talking about. Fly in the Family Stone told you, Mama loves both her children, even though she has a problem out of one or two of them. She loves all of them. And guess what? That's what we have to do. 8112. Well, you've been all my
life. Hello, darling.
Well, you've been all my life.
Right here waiting for you.
All right. Listen, hey. Myself, I bet you Pastor Waller don't know nothing about Family Stone. How you doing, Pastor Waller? How you doing, sir?
Hey. Yeah, I'm all right, brother. I'm all right. How you doing, Pastor?
Good.
She laid that on you, so she's been waiting on you. That's what she said.
She's been waiting on me, ain't she? Done, how you doing, my brother? Good. Thank you,
you know,
guys.
Son,
how you doing out of Selma?
I ain't in Selma. I'm still up here in Nashville. We put Uncle Ed to rest today at the military cemetery in Pilgrim,
yeah.
Man. I'm right here in Nashville with you. I've seen you on the Facebook.
All right. Good deal. Well, listen, you all heard my monologue. 8112, I know you're going to get me straight. You're going to put me in check. Where did I go wrong about the family and the need to revitalize, particularly in the troubled areas of urban America? Feedback on that?
I just a little bit. I can't say that you went wrong anywhere, sir. What I can say, however, is this.
Okay.
It's not just you. I think somewhere along the line, even though we have our own trials and tribulations, even though we try to reach the ones that we're nearby, some of us and some far away, if you're able.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the young generation has lost hope.
Mm.
I think one of the reasons why they've lost hope, because once we've come out of the obstacles and changes within our lives as older than they, let me put it like that.
Okay.
Sometimes
okay.
If we are successful, and even if we not successful for the most part, we lose insight. If you guys recall, there was a time I said I had to go to my son and apologize because I was the mom and the daddy, and I kept coming at him as if I'm still the daddy, but I raised this young man, this child to be a young man, then a man, and he's a man now.
I see.
And I had to use different tactics. So I feel like maybe we as a whole has lost insight on what they're living through now. They live through computers.
I see. Okay. Interesting. Well, Pastor, what do you think about that? Don, you weigh in here. What do you think about that, Pastor?
Well, go ahead and let Don talk for a second. While I'm grabbing this out of the car right here. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Don, what do you think about 8112? I think she made some great points there. What do you think about that, Don?
I know she did. My oldest son, last time I saw him, he was a baby, and I talked to him once in Selma. And I used to fuss at my dad and not being there, but guess what? I ain't been there for him. So we have to break those cycles, like she said, and give them some better insight. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, she's on it. She did on it.
I think we all can agree that somehow, in most of our families, not everybody's, there's been some level of dysfunction. Things were not exactly balanced and working like they need to, right? And it affected us. But when we can learn from it, it makes us better. What I'm hearing my sister say is recognizing that you have a better approach to raising the next generation. Am I mischaracterizing your thought there, 8112?
No, I appreciate the way that you speak. Because sometimes I don't speak in the same way as everyone else, but I thank you for that.
Yes, ma'am. That's why they call you Mama D, see? I know. I ain't even there, but I know. I see what's up.
Right now.
So Don, you spoke to your own experience. And I'll tell you guys, one of my motivations for working as hard as I did with my wife and I had our first child, We both had our reservations about being new parents, you know. And it naturally comes with some fear and some apprehension, especially when you've never done it before. And even more so when you're in a situation where you're a single parent. So I definitely want to make sure that I emphasize that I recognize the added stress on Mama Diane, someone who's raising children by themselves. For whatever reasons they were, you know, it's important to recognize that is not easy. It's challenging for two people, but it's double challenging for one. Would you agree with that, Diane?
Who you?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I thought you was talking to Diane. I apologize. I agree wholeheartedly. Yes, it is very challenging. And once again, even though things, we have all these great intentions to love each other, to death do us further, we get this and we doing that. It don't always work
right.
Like that. But the struggle comes in where when you're willing to stand up and understand and face those challenges because they are out there, you cry a whole lot of tears. But then you got to step up because you got others that's lives, they do matter. I like that slogan they have, lives does matter. It's not just black lives, it's all lives matter. And how we go about looking at these young people matters more importantly.
True. Well, you know, that's I'll tell you what, Don, one of the things I see is, people are more concerned about how they feel. I'm talking about grown folk now. They're more concerned about how their life is going to turn out and how comfortable they are that they put the needs of even small children in, on the back burner. You know what I mean? And I'll give you an example of what we observe. You go outside, it's 20 degrees outside or 10 below zero. The parents dressed up nice and warm, and he got the baby out there with no coat on, no head on. I mean, I'm not trying to knock nobody down, but that's an indication of one of the things that we're talking about, that, you know, if you're getting welfare, and I'm a welfare baby, okay? I grew up on public assistance. but if you're getting public
assistance... Ain't nothing wrong with...
Well, no, you're getting it, though, Don, and everything in your house looks expensive from electronics to what have you, but yet you claim the baby ain't got no food to eat. Explain that with him like I'm 3 years old.
All right.
Don?
Mr. Dockery, the urban experience is different from... I was born in rural, and, you know, my biological father wasn't there, and I was telling Vanessa this morning, and I looked at her, and I said, Vanessa, I said, no, my father wasn't in the household, you understand, but my granddaddy and Uncle Son and Uncle Ed, they put a lot in me, you know, and now they gone, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we was raised on the country, you know, and that's all we had. You know, I called Mr. Halliburton this morning, and, you know, we used to ride to the Biker Settle, Mr. Docker, and we'd be listening to WVOL out in the country. And then it would go off there around about 5 o'clock, and we'd be riding the back or set out there in the woods. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the country is a lot different than the city, but we had our struggles. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I was 8112 to understand one thing. I love me some African-American women that struggle with their sons by themselves. Boy, what you talking about? My mama was there, boy. I'm telling you. Ain't nothing like them, Doc.
Well,
ain't nothing
what
like
about that 8112? He said he loves them some women.
And I love me too, darling. That, for me, it's hard to find you. I can't say nothing. I respect you, though, Don. Thank you so much.
All right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, and I'll tell you guys something. Through it all, and sometimes, Mama D, we our pain and our passion gets in the way of our reason that we can't even see past the frustration. But guess what? One of these old days. I ain't going to preach, but I felt the help right there, Mama D. Yeah.
Okay.
One of these old days, we're going to get to a point where we realize that weeping don't may endure for a night. How about that, Pastor Wallace?
Wow. That was a mouthful.
Come on in, Pastor. Help me out here.
Yeah, you know, you talked about earlier you're listening about a family affair and how you can get things situated. And I look at my kids, the three that I do have, brought up one all the way. Of course, you've seen the girl, you know. And,
Did a fabulous job.
Yeah, but before then, though, you know, those boys, I didn't bring them up. You still, they still acknowledge me as a dad. You know,
okay.
they haven't deviated from that, so it's almost like they're lifting me up while I'm putting myself down, you know, because I look as a man. I didn't give them what I believe they deserve, but it was at that time, so.
I see.
You know, I'm learning to be a lot better, but it would have been great, or it will be great to see others carrying it out and doing such a greater job than I myself realized that I did, because I missed out. It wasn't that they missed. I missed out on what I discovered. That, you know.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I'm just listening in and observing and appreciative about what I'm hearing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I wanted to, for us to, for the first 30 minutes, to talk about some of the issues, but before we're done, I'd like for us to identify some ways we can bring new life and vigor back. And I've got some ideas, but, you know,
lady, Mama D always said I'm running my mouth too much, so let me be quiet. And hey, y'all, what y'all think about it? You understand what I'm saying? Anybody have any ideas about today? Now, when I worked a few years back, I worked for, Don is familiar with this, Institute for Responsible Fatherhood. And part of our job was to go in and help dads to realize their role and, you know, do better and so forth. Well, most of the times when we got to the home, there was a baby daddy, and he was back in the room, but he wasn't trying to be no father. You know what I mean? And the challenge was trying to get him to wake up to that reality. So there was this young lady. Her barrier was she had 5 children by 5 different guys. And the fella halfway wanted to take care of one. He helped bring in the world with her. Definitely wasn't doing nothing to help with the other 4. And so she didn't want to put him out. You understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that there are a number of issues here. And in her mind, that's her family. You see, in her mind, that was family. You know, because whatever the bond was, whatever he was providing for emotionally, it was what it was. And ultimately, the children are the ones who miss out. So what are some things we can do to strengthen and revitalize? Do we have to redefine family again? Anybody? You think that'll help? Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I got a 9-year-old who's got, three siblings, and his oldest brother got a different father. His 2 twin sisters got a different father. And, you know the situation I'm in. And, you know what I'm saying? And you know, that is kind of hard on a woman. You know what I'm saying? And especially for us here in America as being African experience, because you know we don't struggle through a lot here in America. That's why I told 8112 to hold in there, because my mother, I had my stepfather with JJ. I don't like to use that word step, but he was a father too. So you know what I'm saying? It's constantly a struggle for us, because we by way which we came, and you know, I'm kind of still proud of my people, because I look at the things, that we done in this country. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Single-parent homes. Slavery, segregation, and we still made it through. You know what I'm saying?
We're here.
Yeah, we still struggling through.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to say this, Mr. Dockery. Even the young men that had mothers and fathers, looking at my cousin today, they was, one of my cousins was real angry because, Uncle Ed was gone. You know what I'm saying? And I looked at James, and he was just as, But, through it all, I'm praying that, you be strong and make it through. You know what I'm saying? Because it was rough for me when I lost mama. You know what I'm saying? So, I think we can do it.
Oh, yeah. And it's just, so the thing, though, is when we look at where we are today, sometimes it's not a pretty picture. Right? But, Don, what I'm hearing you say is we don't take into account that we're not where we used to be. And we could have been gone. See, we could have been dead and gone. Is that right? But
that's right.
No, we're not where we want to be. But guess what? We're not where we used to be. And we're making progress. No matter how slow it may seem. Go ahead, Mama D. Were you trying to say something?
I was listening to you. I'm like, I guess you're right. You may not be where you think you want to be, but you're where you're needed at.
Right.
And
now,
God
at
places
what age?
Where you need them at. And so who am I to dispute what my divine father say? This is where you need to be regardless to what you go through.
Okay.
This is where I place you at. So you be that soldier I want you to walk on earth to be.
All right.
You reap the harvest there's any for you to reap, even if it's the mere satisfaction of saying, I did what he asked me to do. I tried to do the best I could.
Gotcha. Now, I'm going to go somewhere, guys. Y'all bear with me, okay? And jump in here anytime and correct me. And Facebook friends, shoot me up. You want to call the number 657-383-0944. We're talking from the topic in case you're just joining us. Hello, Ms. Johnson and Ms. D there, Ms. Johnson. How to revitalize urban American families. That's what we're talking about. That's our topic. Now, we've been talking about some of the issues after the fact, right? We're hooked up, we're made babies, and they here now. We're doing the best we can with them. We struggle. But now I'm going to go somewhere. And y'all, now, I mean, this is talk straight, man. I mean, so let's talk straight for a minute. If I see, I'm going to make it personal, Don. My daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's in Wisconsin now, so, and she, you know, if she knew I was using her as a subject matter, she may jump on me. But she don't know it, so don't y'all tell her, okay? If my daughter, the number 657-383-0944, I saw her at a young age, right, prettying herself up, putting lipstick on, putting some pumps on, some high heels, and a little short dress. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all with me? Y'all walking with me?
Yes, sir.
And, you know, shaking that tail feather like Tina Turner used to say. You understand what I mean? What do I say to her, or do I say anything to her?
As a father, yes, you do say something, but you have to be very, very, it's like a thin line. You have to be very, very careful what you say as her dad. Because what you do as her dad will affect her for the rest of her life. Now, her mom, on the other hand, could come in at a different age.
Come in on her, crucial
and hard a little bit and stern.
Okay. What's the difference? Well, I'm her daddy now. I'm supposed to be able to talk to her, too.
Okay. Not all of it. I wasn't a daddy's girl, but I was a young girl in the world. Okay. And I went out there in the streets like that. Make no mistake about it, because my mother did not. She was worse than two parents wrapped up like three parents.
Okay.
So, no. No. I said that because I watched her and I observed her as a child raising my seven brothers. And I think she did a fantastic job, because I don't even think I raised five sons, but I don't think I could have raised 13 children.
You'd have been
I could. They would have drove a little bitty old me crazy, but they didn't drive her crazy because she knew what to do. And she done that. So therefore, mothers and fathers are vital and very important in children's lives on both sides, boys and girls, because we grow up. We grow up.
Okay. You said something that was key, 812. I was listening to you very carefully. And you said that as a father, I have to be careful that I don't break my daughter. I'm rephrasing you a little bit, if that's okay. I don't break my daughter's spirit in her attempt to present herself in a way to get attention. Are we on the same wavelength there?
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. You said what I said,
Go ahead, I'm sorry. I had a Facebook post, but go ahead. Finish your thought, and I'll share it with you.
Okay, that's great. And the reason why I said that was because if you had a father or you have a father in your life, you look up to them. And some young women reach out to other people, meaning men, when they don't have that father figure in a different way. Because they look for that nurturing and the love they're supposed to got at home and didn't have that, and they didn't know why they didn't have that. They don't understand that. But when you have that at home and your daddy get on you, he has to be careful because, like I said, it's a part of growing up. And as teenagers, young women, they say they're like stronger than boys in a certain degree, but they are also weak. I see. At a certain degree.
Okay.
That's why.
Okay. I got you. Well, now, here's an interesting twist. One of our Facebook followers says, how else will she learn if, and I assume this to mean that dad doesn't take a place. She goes on further to say, I'm a daddy's girl. And I say, yes, daddy ought to speak to, she's saying that I should speak to my daughter about her being too mature and too grown ahead of time. Because all of us know she's going to bring attention to herself that she can't handle, right? We know that, right? Can we all agree on that?
No.
Yes, sir.
What do you say, Mama D?
Don't agree upon that because sometimes you don't always bring attention to yourself. Sometimes, even though you dress up, try to be the prettiest you could be to make you feel better about who you are as an individual. Doesn't mean you run out there buck wild doing anything and everything. No, sir, it does not mean that.
No, I might be correct.
Some people that don't have good intentions by younger women, it's a woman, a girl, anyway. Uh-huh. That's why I said just be careful. But when mom step in, if there's a mom in the house, same way if there's a dad in the house, a whole lot of we forget. Everybody doesn't have mom and dad in the house. And
True.
Everybody just don't. So you do what it does to make you feel better as a human being.
All right, can I clarify what I was saying, though? I'm saying that, you know, her intention may not have been buck wild. I'm not suggesting that. As it was to get attention, and you bring them dogs after you. You understand what I'm saying? And it's old dogs, young dogs, all of them trying to chase them little gals. You know what I mean?
What you going to do when the dog passes? What you going to do when the dog chase you too hard?
Well,
you
going to
run.
Well, some
and,
of them.
And if
some
your
of them,
upbringing is even a little bit where you're afraid, some girls don't run. It's just like some boys don't run from street life because they feel that tension. But for the most part, if they got their daddy in the home, their daddy done taught them what they taught. One thing about your teaching and your upbringing is what I've learned. Deep down inside, whether you're rebellious or not, sir, it lingers in the back of your mind.
I get you. But now, what? Let me share what Facebook is saying with us. Our listener is saying that she is the only girl of five men, okay, and in the house. Her dad understood because he was the only boy of eight sisters. So these are some of the dynamics. But the catch is this. We have got to protect both our boys and girls, but I believe there has to be a greater emphasis on protecting our young ladies so that their virtue is not stolen away from them and they're made to feel guilty about who they are and even their expression as ladies. And what happens is you got a fellow who's sick in his mind who thinks what makes me a man is to put a notch on my belt, two or three, five or six, seven or eight, right? That means I got to go through a bunch of females. Well, somebody's precious little daughter get caught up with the covalence out there, and that is what makes me a woman is I can handle myself and I can give. You understand what I'm saying? It's crazy, but that's the way it is, unfortunately. So we got to make sure we bring this balance. Wow, listen to what she says, 8112. She says, my dad was my second love. God is first. My dad was my second love. God was a first love. Now, that's a powerful relationship with a father. How about that, Don?
Well, in the Nation of Islam, they always teach us there's the God and then there's the little God, and the father's like the little God. And, Mr. Dockery, you know, it's amazing what you're talking about, and I'm glad I found the Morris Divine Nasty Movement on 43rd and Calumet, because I ran into the Circle 7, and I had Brother Bonzeal there and Sister Bonzeal there, and what they showed me that my biological mother and father didn't have was a spiritual teaching. And that spiritual teaching was the education of Mary and Elizabeth. When I ran into that, Mr. Docker, I ran into pure gold. You know what I'm saying? Because I started correlating with the Arabs' Quran and the Moorish Quran about Mary and Elizabeth was taught at a young age how to become mothers and wives. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't have those spiritual teachings to pass on to your daughter, you see what I'm saying? She can, you know, she's, you know what I'm saying? You, like you said, she can get caught up in all this riffraff out here. Like you was telling one night, you were saying there's difference between apples and oranges.
Yeah,
there's a difference now because you got some guys out here that don't know nothing about the education of Mary and Elizabeth and Zohar and Egypt. You know, it's some brothers out here, and you know what I'm talking about, Mr. Doctor.
I tell you what I've observed in my short lifetime, and that is the fact that somehow we've been socialized to think, and I'll give you a good example of it. When you go to prom, the expectation is that you do what after the prom dance? Come on, talk to me, grown folk.
I don't know. I ain't been no prom, but I believe they're trying to do what teenagers do at that age.
No, wait a minute. So is it not either consciously or unconsciously taught that that's the time you begin to experiment with those with your sexuality once you graduate high school?
Mr. Docker, you own it now.
Well,
it doesn't have to be experimentation after you graduate high school. It can start way because puberty starts for men and women way before then.
Well, understand that.
It's experimentation, I think, and I ain't no philosopher, no psychiatrist.
Go ahead.
It starts way before that. It's called peer pressure, I think.
Correct me if I'm wrong, sir.
I agree. You own it.
I agree with you wholeheartedly that some of them are engaging in grown folk business as early as 8, 9 years old. Okay.
I see about 60 to 70% these days, and it's getting bad because you got AIDS and everything else out here.
Hold on. Follow what I'm saying for a second.
What young
girls grew up expecting is that when I get out of high school or I get to a certain age, it's okay for me to give myself without a commitment.
How do you know that you're a man? What most young girls think, I'm finding a man that I love and he loves me. Now, I was a young girl.
I'm going to tell you
what they think. And somebody get all them ill words in your ear and make you believe it to get what the heck they want. Yeah, you're going to believe because you call yourself and don't know what love is, but you
think, I'm in love. Until you make your head do a roundabout circle. Can I say this, though?
I grew up with
five sisters in the house and had plenty of cousins, and I grew up I've been dealing with females all my life, you understand?
Okay.
And I've seen my sisters run those games. You understand what I mean?
What you mean ran them games? What about the boys who ran the games on them?
You asked me how I know. You don't know, you're just talking.
Because you don't know.
Wow.
They can tell you more when you want to call them.
Wait a minute now. Come on now.
I can play with you because I'm finna shut up.
So I think you understand what I'm saying. And here's
the point. I know exactly what you're saying.
You're saying you
witnessed what your sisters went through. You're also saying is this. But you forgot a part about the young fellas, including yourself, maybe, perhaps, when you was out there chasing them little pretty girls trying to play like grown women wearing them big girl panties and they wasn't supposed to be in
them. Hey, 8112.
That's
what I'm
talking about.
That's a love game, you understand? Well, now what I'm saying, though, here's my greater point. And I think we got Outkast here with us. Outkast, something in time. Here's my greater point, and that is that we've been socialized to believe that this idea of engaging and expressing ourselves sexually without commitment. I won't emphasize that. Y'all don't miss that. Without a commitment in marriage. And this is where I believe the family structure gets challenged, because you do what grown folk do, and the byproduct that is children. But you ain't had no planning, hadn't talked about what you want your children to do, how you want to raise them, what kind of values you want for them, what's the negotiables and non-negotiables. You understand what I mean?
Yes,
so
sir.
So the babies just wind up doing whatever, right?
Yes, sir.
So let me go back to Facebook for a second. Let me go
Mr.
back to
Dockery.
Facebook. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Why are you doing that? Go ahead, Don.
Mr. Dockery, I experienced my brother that I clean up at Raceway. He's from Yemen. And, you know, he was saying that in their culture, they teach the young girls and young men at an early age about marriage.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And here in the West, we'll talk promiscuity here in the West.
Sure we
You know
are.
What I'm saying?
Sure
How to, you know.
By and large. Absolutely. Absolutely. And as a result, Don, guess what we get? We get the results of promiscuity. And I'm not saying that
yes,
makes
sir.
You a bad person. The purpose of our conversation is to, by the end of this dialogue, is to identify how we can revitalize families, how we can bring new life. And one of them is talk to our babies now to say to them that your body is precious. And tell the little boys that a female's body is precious. It's not a toy. It's not an apple you bite off and throw away the rest of it. You don't play with that, right?
So
how do you prepare yourself? Give me 1 second. How do you prepare yourself for responsible engagement with a young lady and a young man? Well, this is your point, Don, and that is it's important that at some point we plant the seed of thought in our children's mind that God made you to be a part of the institution of family. I know things went bad and we had rough times and everything. Guess what? I ain't going to be able to turn the wheel of time back and get it back for me, but at least if I can set the tone straight for another generation, I can make a difference. Go ahead, 8112. You
Mr. Dockery.
Hold your thought, Don. Let me go to 8112. Was trying to say something.
I said that is my point exactly. You guys,
okay.
I respect what Facebook is saying with the uttermost.
Okay.
I also know this, that I don't just speak to be talking to y'all. I speak from knowledge. And my
All
knowledge
right.
is I had a child at a young age. And I loved her
okay.
dad, and I still love him. I still talk to him. But guess
okay.
what? When kids do what they do, it's called that bodily stuff clicks in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you
mm-hmm.
can't punish them for life. And this
wow.
is how I reach out to the younger generations, because
right.
I don't bite on them. I talk to them as if I am talking to one of my own.
I see what
and
you're
that's
saying.
What I'm asking you guys to do, whether it be boy or girl.
Right.
We
right,
have
right.
all done something we are not proud of. We are all have
mm-hmm.
done something. And I turned out some of the best children for a single
okay.
parent as I am and have been.
Okay.
And
okay.
I am grateful
okay.
for that. And so with that, I said that to say this. I don't brag on that. I hope each and every day they keep them productive in life and striving
right.
and doing some of the wonderful things I watched them do.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I reach out to others. They
mm-hmm.
do the same thing. That was a part of their
sure.
upbringing. That's
okay.
a part of
okay.
their upbringing, so they do the same doggone thing. If they can help, they will help a stranger, and that is
right.
me. And they're a part of me, and I'm so grateful to God for that, because it didn't have to be like that.
Mr.
Right,
Dockery.
Hold on 1 second. Go ahead, Don, and then I got a Facebook thread. Go
I,
ahead, Don.
I hear you, and I'm glad you're bringing this up, because we see this promiscuity is now all the way over in our White House right now. You see what I'm saying? And like you said, if we don't set the tone for family and the foundation right now, you see what I'm saying? Then our leadership all the way up to the White House. It affects the White House.
Well,
look at
no,
it right now.
But, Don, we can't control the White House and nothing that goes on there. But we can control what happens in our yard, in our backyard, though. That's what I'm.
But guess what, Mr. Dockery? What happened in our backyard overflows into our government. Don't think
well,
it don't.
I hear what you're saying, and I guess I'm getting at the point of self-governance. But I get you. I take your point. Let me share with
mm-hmm.
Facebook now. She went there. Now, I'm a grown woman, and just began to talk with my mom about sex and sexual relationships a few years ago. And she's well in her 50s, okay? Then she goes on to say, my parents are both from West Tennessee, and talking about sex to them were taboo. Son, I remember, you know, I tried to get my dad to tell me a little bit about the hum the hummer, and he was too embarrassed, man. But he's from that old school. You understand what I'm saying? If we
mm-hmm.
don't tell them, and if we don't teach them, Guess who gonna make sure they find out? Them streets. Come on in on that, Pastor Waller.
Yeah, I was just sitting back listening, man. But I know you said something. I'm gonna go back to when you said something about your daughter. You know, when you
uh-huh.
said she was putting skirt in the lipstick, you know, and the skirt, and wanting some attention.
Okay.
Now. But in spite of how innocent she may have been, she could get some attention if she ran across somebody when I was a young man like I was, and the idea too wasn't taken to the bed. It was sitting on the streets. That's what I was seeing in one of the attention. But I'm just talking about some personal that I went through, that I done, because I was turned out very early. And so I had no respect for women at all because I didn't have no knowledge of how important they are. So, you know, to send them out on the street and to make sure that they had an occupation, if they didn't have one, I would make sure that they had one. And I'm saying they may run for somebody like that even today. If the people, if you hadn't said anything to your daughter, and I know your daughter very well, highly intelligent and doing.
Well, now, that wasn't her for real. I was just using that as an example.
She's never done anything like that.
Yeah.
Right, but she's using it for an example. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So had you not said anything to her, would have been an opportunity for her to run across, as I said,
correct.
Somebody like
correct.
Herself in the same arena. You understand?
Yes,
they
sir.
Had no knowledge of how important a woman is, and yet still
right.
they have been up under the influence and knowledge of someone turning them out, as the guy was
right.
turned out. You understand? I'm using that. I'm going further. And have no respect for them, and because they're dressed up and they're shaking their little tails, when I would go to the club, if that's what you're doing, if that's what you want, my idea wasn't taking to bed. You see what I'm saying? And so it may be a lot more out there like that that's turning them out. You know the song about the whispers, about the child
yes.
going over to grandmother's house? You understand what I'm saying? You know,
Olivia.
She's very innocent now. You know, and on the way to grandmother's room. But she got lost and turned out because she ran across one of those smooth-talking brothers. You understand what I'm saying? They laid her down that avenue. And it's going on today. But another thing is and we're not going to go into that pimping game right now. I'm going to come on back to where just girls end up having babies. It would not be a lot of kids in the world right now that have went on and been successful as having kids without a marriage going on. So that has taken place because of the pressure or the want to fit in, or however it may have come about. A lot of kids have been born without marriage that has been greatly successful. And that's not to take away from, you know, raising the family to become married and things like that.
Sure.
But that has taken place. I mean, it's evident. There's so many that have been born without that and gone on to be greatly successful in so many areas, man. So what do
you
do about that?
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Good in
the but, field? Pastor, can I push back on that just a little bit?
Sure, definitely.
Okay. So now here's the interesting thing about the urban American experience. What used to be the abnormal has become normal now, and what used to be normal is abnormal.
Right.
Follow where I'm going, Pastor? There was a time where the standard was a young lady preserve herself for marriage, and the young man as well. But today,
right,
it's almost acceptable to make a baby and don't even think about trying to make no commitment, because the thing is, well, there have been so many people who made it without being married. I can do it too. You understand what I mean? I wonder if that's a dangerous precedent. Go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry.
Yeah, very good point. So, you see, and that's the thing. So what do you do to have the kids not to have, as you say, both of them, the boy and the girl? What do you,
that's
how
right.
you instruct them to not do anything before the time? Do you get a good pills and get on birth control and all that stuff, you understand?
Uh-oh, wait.
To not reproduce, you know? And, you know, so it's a lot of, I guess I would say, it's a catch-22 to that. So we're trying to keep us from reproducing, so we won't be able to have our kids come into existence. And if they're not going to get married, what are they going to do in the meantime? You know, just stay, I mean, I would just say without, stay absent for the duration of their life, or how does that go? So
it would be
a good thing.
Yes.
Hello?
No, I tell you what, that's a great point
Hello?
You're raising. And, yeah, who is that?
That's me, Mr. Dockery, and I'm glad he brought that up. What about abstinence? You know what I'm saying? Birth control. What about abstinence? Because this Planned Parenthood thing that these good old boys got out here. You know what I'm saying? Birth control.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What about abstinence? You know what I'm saying? Do we teach our young folks about abstinence? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do know what you're saying. And here's what I was going to say about that. And that is politically incorrect today, Don. That's what I mean by the abnormal becoming norm and the norm becoming abnorm. It's politically incorrect to suggest to a young lady that you can and you should remain wholesome until somebody promised to commit themselves to you and your children for the rest of your life. Is there something wrong with that?
Nope.
No.
And I got some ladies on Facebook. Y'all let me know if I'm wrong now. I mean, help me out now, because I know 8112 said y'all hot leg men always talking, and I don't get the, you know, y'all don't want to hear what I got. I want to hear what you got to say now. Talk to me. Is there something wrong with me telling my daughter that it's perfectly normal, and in fact it should be an expectation that you preserve yourself for marriage? Is
anything
wrong with that?
Sir, I was even taught that. Understand that. But what we are taught and what we choose to do is two different stories.
Ah, I see.
I was taught that as well. Don't get it twisted now. I was taught that. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that's been taught that. But that does not mean you're going to go astray, lend some cute little foot and everything. I probably wouldn't lend to them a day. If you try to convince me and have me persuaded. But my point is, and I'm a grown woman think about it as a teenager. We don't always do as we don't always do as we have been taught.
I see. That's true. Now, but now, it's a butt right. Put a chicken butt right there. We haven't always done as we were taught, but guess what? It'll save your life, and it'll make life better for you, and it'll keep
you from going through. And when you're that age, how many of y'all have thought like that at the age you are now? Not many.
Can I say something? I'm guilty.
You asked me a question. Go ahead.
I'm guilty. I stand accused. However,
I know
guilty. Hold on. Listen to me. I made it a point, though, for my children. I made a point to hold that as a high standard, not for my purpose, but for their purpose. And I told them that if you follow the same standard for you for the rest of your life, when I'm dead and gone, you can be secure knowing that you done what was proper and what was in order.
You was standing up to that daddy role. Everybody ain't got that father figure, baby.
Well,
everybody has that.
Hey, can I say this? The point of the conversation tonight is to talk about how the process of revitalizing urban American family. That's where we got to go. That's the message we got to teach. That's why I'm telling
it
now. Because I didn't do it right. No, I didn't. But guess what? Somebody else can, and their life would be better for it. Can I get to Facebook right quickly? No, absolutely not, because if you don't, those knuckleheads going to mess her up. She's talking about me not telling my daughter, right? And watch this. I'm not going to just get on the ladies 8112 and Miss D on Facebook. I'm not just going to get on the ladies. I'm going to get on these little dudes too now, Don. Come on,
yes,
Don. They don't get no free pass because they have obligation. They have an obligation to show respect and to be respectful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's the expectation, too. See?
Yes, sir.
See, the truth of the matter is you ought to make sure that you're protecting the sanctity and the wholesomeness of your female counterpart, your sister. You know?
That's right.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, is it?
No, sir.
I mean, so, Pastor Waller, as we preach in the pulpit, as we teach in church, should this become a part of our message and the teaching of the church?
I think it's valuable. You know, I think it's valuable because the Bible speaks about marriage, and you know, and it talks about it in such a way at the early stages. And I like the part where it says, "I don't know all ways." Let me say that. I like the part where it says, "What God joined together, let no man put asunder, let no man separate." So marriage must be valuable in order for him to say what God put together, what God joined together. But the thing is that who is it that God is joining together? Is it just a man that looks a certain way and a woman that looks a certain way and then they finally get together?
Right.
Or they finally put it together? I say this because of my come up and all the guys I grew up with, our parents, most of them were married and also divorced. We knew not much about divorce, but we knew one thing, that our fathers wasn't in the house, but just still they had been married. So what happened? How did that separation take place? So marriage to me wasn't never nothing interesting to me because most of the guys like our parents was, you know, they were divorced. And only a few, I thank God for the few that stayed the course, you know, went all the way, you know, as the Bible states. And so it's very interesting that marriage wasn't nothing interesting to me as a result. I discovered my parents, my friends' parents, well, most of them anyway. But at the same time, I want to go back to the birth control. That's a trick of the enemy. Absence.
Okay.
I would think to be absent would be much better, without a doubt. And that means that marriage probably would be more effective because they stay there until then. But the trick of the enemy is get on the pills whatever they take, you understand? And, you know, that's just the way it is. So you can make sure you don't have no baby. We don't want you to bring no babies up in here. You understand? So what are they going to do if they're not going to get married?
Pastor Doctor.
You have to be
okay. 1 second, Don. Go ahead, Pastor. Finish the thought. Then we'll go right to Don.
Yeah, so that's where I was at, because I was appreciative of the conversation as a whole. So a teachable moment, and we should talk about that in the church house, you understand? Because those are the ones that have a lot of pressure put up on them to attend church. Or I got one of the most church girls, you know, I'm going to turn her out.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
man.
Thank you,
man. Let me be extremely honest now. I want you to know I'm being extremely honest like this here. I haven't always been a person who went to church, but when I did go, some of them knew about my background. And some of those girls in the church, and I wasn't no preacher then, they actually had that desire to want to go do what I used to do. Some of them not in the street. Some of the church girls wanted to go.
I get you.
So that's a terrible thing, man. But it was like that. I didn't go that route, but still, you know, just the thought of it, man. You know, so a lot of church girls, they're wondering, you know, how to get in the fast lane and things like that, man.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
Okay.
So you have to need to be
All right, let me. I'm sorry.
Let me go to Don. Don, what were you going to say? What were you going to say, Don?
I wanted to talk to the pastor then. If we really are called, right? You remember Adam and Eve before they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What was marriage like before they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
Well, the story suggests, I'm sorry, you were talking about Swab. I'm sorry, Pastor, he was talking to you.
When you're talking about the fruit, not the tree, before they ate the fruit from the tree of knowledge and evil.
That's right.
Of good and evil.
Good and evil.
Yeah.
What was that, what was that relationship like before they ate that tree?
Yeah, everything was already thrilled before them. I mean, everything was already lined up and wonderful, you understand? And it was obedience was on the agenda then. So it wasn't anything about no being trapped or tricked into the devil's way of doing things. Everything was already ordered up, you know, pure, always the same. Got everything lined up. I mean, that's just the way it was in that setting, you know.
So
and,
then the question, then the next question comes in. The next question comes in. Can we go back to that original state?
That I knew you were going there. I knew you were going there. Hey, Don, that's a good segment, man, because you know what? You jumped right ahead of me because that's what I was going to say, that the steps to watch the word revital. See, it suggests, Don, at some point it was vital, it was whole, it was strong, right? It had life and vigor, but something happened that it was lost. So to revitalize is to go back and do it over again. Maybe, just maybe, friends, what we're missing in 2018 is the fact that we got caught in a maze, right? And the best way to get out of it is to go back from whence you come. Go back to the original order. And maybe our lives and our children can do better. Am I wrong about that? Somebody help me with that.
I think so. Because first of all, God makes no mistakes about what he's done and what he's laid in front of us, is what I think.
Okay.
I know I'm a mere person thinking and just speaking to you guys. But this is how I feel.
Well, we listen to you.
So when
we
you try to go back to the roots of Adam and Eve, guess what? You ain't Adam and your woman ain't Eve.
Why not?
You're a replicate of this. None of us are.
Why can't we be like them?
So
why can't we be like them?
You can be in their life. But and this point is, even though we're not Adam and Eve, how will you go back if he don't say so? He planned all our lives out the way that he chose to. Who are we to question what he do? Our main objective, from what I'm understanding, is this. How do we retrieve the children that got lost along the way in the shuffle?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Of life. Tell me. Well, please.
I'm trying to tell you that now. I'm trying to tell you.
You already know the answer. It's all the problem.
I'm trying to tell you to embrace the values, the discipline, and the structure that God gave us from the beginning.
You
and
got
people won't have these problems.
I already know you are having these problems for life. Without life, you will not grow. If you don't
get
things up.
I agree with you that life teaches you things. But what I'm saying is, here's one of the things life teaches you. That when it's raining outside, if you don't want to get wet, put an umbrella over you or put a raincoat on. Amen?
That don't mean
amen.
That don't mean you that means your head and shoulders will be protected from the raindrops sometimes. It depends
okay.
on how hard it's raining outside.
Well, now listen
also
now.
Teach you
listen
if it's lightning outside, stick for shelter, do they not?
8112.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? You can stay dry when it's raining outside.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Now,
yeah, you
what
can
I'm
put
trying
your rain
to tell you,
on your raincoat in your head.
Say that again now.
You can put your raincoat, your rain boots, and your rain head on top of your head if you want
what,
to stay dry.
My point is that there is a method, there is a process by which you can avoid getting wet. Today in 2018, there is a method. A provable method that you can avoid being a single-parent mother pregnant without some fella that got you pregnant making a commitment to you and your child. There's a way you can avoid that.
Sometimes.
Now, is it popular? Is that politically correct? Perhaps not. But guess what? It will work.
Sometimes.
No, it will all the time.
Sometimes.
Ain't but one way. Listen, ain't but one way you can get pregnant now. Come on now, let me. Don't make me talk straight tonight. Ain't but one way
and
you can get pregnant now.
And ain't but one way you can stop for getting pregnated by anybody, as that's abstinence. And how many
that's
folks
what I'm talking
do
about.
Know? How many people do you know doing that in 2018? Well, I'm a virgin rehab, but I'm just saying, how many other folks do you know outside myself doing that now?
You got 8112, Facebook saying we done went philosophical now. But no, but the point is, the point is this. I know that sometimes we think we're cutting fun out by being boring and being structured and following some sort of standard. But guess what? You can improve the quality of your life drastically. See, delayed gratification works when you work hard, you discipline yourself, and you put work in like the ants when they prepare ahead of the season. They got food to eat on for the rest of the season. That's where they get it from. They put their work in, they discipline themselves, and they all work together. Come on, somebody. Now, what I'm saying is our family, even in the socioeconomically challenged urban American environment, guess what? If we employ, but somebody got to teach it, Pastor Wallace. And what I'm suggesting tonight, that's something the preacher can and should teach. Amen,
yeah.
Somebody. Yeah. Don't be running game on folk in the name of Jesus. Teach them how to live and how to survive and how to maintain themselves. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. Facebook says, but I function on what God says in his word. Woo! Watch out. That's you, Pastor Wallace. That sounds like you right
there.
That sounds like you right there.
Exactly. That's what they should do. When he said that, that's what counts. My opinion is not that there's no value in my opinion. But what he says is a lot better. But now that I know it. You didn't know it first. You know? And that's what it's about, learning of him. That's why I need to be taught in the church. Because there's a lot of people. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Y'all making life so boring, man. It ain't going to be no fun like that, Pastor.
Right.
Ain't nobody doing that old stuff no more.
They laugh about y'all life, and it don't always work like that. Y'all life ain't about their life. It is. And it's a contradiction to a certain point because your life that was your past is now their future, that they're looking up to us to try to figure out a way from what you guys are saying to help them. I find myself so many times trying to figure out how to help someone younger than I.
Okay.
Meaning, this world don't belong to me. But if this is what I'm instructed to do, sometimes I get confused myself, may go through hell trying to get it done. But that's okay.
Okay.
If I live through it, I'll be all right. It's another life lesson, what I'm trying to say. If you don't understand me the way I'm trying to say it, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
We're trying to figure out from what you guys are saying to me sound like. Figure out a way to help the young generation. And only talking about ourselves, that means we're leaving them left out there still in the cold because you haven't found a problem yet, a solution to the problem yet.
I'm trying to give it to you. I'm trying to give it to you tonight. The problem of the disturbed tour of family, I'm trying to give you the solution. Go back.
Y'all need to
listen. Listen to me. Hear me out. Go back to the order established from creation. And you solve your problem. That's the answer.
Can't go wrong with that.
No, you can't go wrong with that.
But in so many ways you can, because you will make a detour.
No, you're not. No.
Yes, because you passed. I respect you being Holy Cross, under the Holy Cross.
Even if I wasn't a pastor, the truth of the matter is that when you're walking right, you're not walking wrong, period.
And sometimes people think they walking right and talk to other people are walking wrong, and they use it as a crutch. And it handicaps us but they don't know no better. And I'm not speaking about you. I'm saying in general.
That's true. You're right. All I'm saying tonight, let me have the last word on this one. And you know, everybody can that's listening on Facebook and then on the podcast, everywhere can do what you want to with it. Put it on shelf, put it in God if you want to. But I'm duty bound by the office that I hold to tell you that what God says is going to be beneficial for you. Go back to the order in which He established for you and you won't have no problem. Now, you can't half step. And you can't straddle the fence. You gotta go straight in and do the right thing. That's what I'm trying to tell our people. When we do right, right will come our way. Now you can't turn no trick into no treat. I done learned that a long time ago. Have we got a witness?
Amen.
Yeah, that's where you are, man.
I mean, don't get it confused. Don't get it confused. Man, look at the time, Pastor Waller. We got 8 minutes, man. We got 8 minutes.
Yeah, good. There it is. One more time.
Let me tell you what Facebook said, then we'll close it with that. I'm not working for these temporary things here in life, but I'm working on the eternal life. And she got a second from another Facebook, said amen and yes. Listen, here's the good news. This is the gospel right now, and that is there is hope in the word of God. There is hope, and there is healing, there is deliverance in his word. Now, some people may say, I don't believe in God. Well, if you believe that discipline provides positive outcome, you may not call it God, but that's what it is. That's just what it is. It's a process. And the more we engage that, the more we follow that, the better we will be off. Okay. Man, Pastor, do we have to go, Pastor Waller? Can you stop the time for us, please?
Well, if I only had the power, man, just something happened, it's not in my head right about now. Yes, sir.
Oh man. Listen, let's work our way out of here. We got 6 minutes here, my goodness. But we'll be back Thursday with another episode of Talk Straight. Don, you wanna give us a final thought, man?
Oh, Mr. Dockery, you took me back to the point when I first met my dad and we was at the Pink House there on 10513 Miles Avenue. And that's what we were talking about, going back to the Creator and being disciplined, You know what I'm saying? And that's the key, discipline. So I think you dead on it.
God be the glory. We appreciate you, man, and I hope the family's doing well in your time of bereavement there.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. I see 1098. You there with me, 1098? I know you've been listening. Anything you want to contribute before we leave?
Please hold, and you will be able to listen to the show.
I'm sorry. You there?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No comment.
Okay. Appreciate you, my friend. Appreciate you. 8112, what about it?
I say God bless all of y'all. Y'all have a blessed night because I'm tired now.
Okay. You know I love you like peanut butter love jelly, don't you?
And fat girl love cake.
I can't have that without some cold milk with it, though. But we appreciate you. Thank you for joining us. I don't know. We look like we're losing folk here. All right. I got Pastor Waller back there. God bless you, Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir.
You there? Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Looks like I lost you. Lost a few number
yeah.
people there, but let me just tell y'all final word from Facebook. Miss D says, "I wish I could have remembered the number caller." That's okay. I still love you. Enjoyed the conversation as well as she should be. All right. And we appreciate you and our other followers there on Facebook and those others that are just listening. Pastor, I'm going to turn the floor over to you, sir. Get us out and we'll end on a on our commercial. Let me just say this, bscinstitute.com is the webpage, and this is a part of our national dialogue for addressing some of those issues challenging particularly young males across urban America. That's why we turn the floor over to you now, sir.
Amen. We thank God for everyone who had a chance to talk, listen, and for those on Facebook, we really appreciate your comments and questions. And most of all, I thank God for an opportunity when he was talking about redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, meaning to go back and bring back those days that we know the value of what it's like to follow order. And in learning that, he said he does things decently and in order. So there's nothing wrong with rearranging, because the answer, we have it inside of us that we can just learn to follow him. And the reason why I believe that so much is because the word does say it in the book of Matthew, chapter 11. It does say it in verse 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Meaning that if we don't know how to do it, he's extending us a hand and say, "Learn of me." And that means that he'll show us how to do it. And I think that's the way it should be done, glory to God. If we stand on his guidance, everything is going to be all right, only if we follow what he instructs us to do. Amen.
All right. All right. All right. All right. Well, with that, we appreciate you, Pastor, as always. I'm going to end on that note with a special message to a son to let us know that there's yet hope for us to make it in this world.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
You've been listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we invite you to join us again on this Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight. Until then, we'll see you.